Back on the field here with Robert Drummond from the NFL, CFL, and the Syracuse University Orange football program here as an alum and always on the show with Dan Satora. I'm your host here every single week on WakeUpCallDT.com. And as we always do, we welcome Rob in. How you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Dan?
I'm happy to have you here and going very well. You and I got to experience something that we didn't necessarily think was coming at the beginning of the season, and that was a new head coach press conference.
Correct.
And for a guy that you know and a guy that you respect, and me as well. And let's start there. From that press conference with Scott Schaefer, what did you take from it?
You know what? Scott's the kind of coach, the perfect coach that Syracuse needed at this point. You know, we had a former alumni, Doug Marone, who was in that position, who understands Syracuse University football, understands the community, understands the athletes and the people around here. You know, but he had an opportunity to present himself to him. And if I were the coach in the same position, even me being born, red and braised, and I'm here in Syracuse, I would have had to take it. You know, just taking that opportunity, taking that chance. That being said, you know, Scott's a great guy to fill in. You know, I've had an opportunity of being with his son out here in Fayetteville Manlius for the past couple of years, and understanding his daughter, meeting his wife, you know, and meeting all the people that are around him. And I realized that he understands Syracuse University football. He understands this area. He understands his people. And he's a perfect person at this position with us going into the AC to step in and give us structure and give us stability.
When you heard him speak, and you know, what could you tell by him? We talk about body language. We talk about how you say what you say. What did you pick up from Scott Schaefer from that first time he really got to talk to people?
You know, from the first time listening to him, but I've been fortunate enough to know him for the last 4 years, but the first time listening to him as being the head coach of your university football team, it's the way I would approach being a coach of the Syracuse University football team if I was in that same position. You know what? It's about the athletes. It's not about him. He doesn't care about the glory. He doesn't care about the prestige. He doesn't care about the power. He cares about none of that. Scott's in that position right there to go out there and create young men, and that's what he wants to do. And that's the one thing I always do, even when I come back here and I do certain things around the community for football players or athletes per se. You know, it's not about me. It's not about Robert Drummond, the football player. It's not about Robert Drummond, the athlete, or the guy who ran out there and played in the NFL. It's about a guy who can come back and give back. You know, and that's the approach that Scott takes. He just wants to give back. You know, and that's a great feeling to go up there and hear a coach just humble himself when he's in a position of power. You know, and for Scott, that's not it, and that's a great feeling to see.
Coach Schaefer said something that even though he didn't come to Syracuse for college, even though he didn't play here, that because he's been here for four seasons, the length that the eligibility of a college player would have. He said, because I've seen these guys have their time here, they consider this part of them, that this can consider this their home, I feel that I can say at this point that Syracuse is a part of me and that there's some ownership there with him. And how do you respond to that statement that he made?
No, that's what he expressed. You know, Syracuse is my hometown where what I love. You know, I love the Syracuse University and I love everything about this city. You know, and it's just so refreshing for me to see an outsider, you know, only after 4 years, understand what it takes to be a member of this community, not just a football coach. And I think Scott's going to go out there and do a lot more community work, not that Doug Marone did not do, but he loves his city. He loves the fact that his children are here in school. You know, his wife is here also, you know, and they just love it here. And that's just a great feeling when you can go out there and be a coach or a player and play for a city that believes in you. The one big thing that I truly, truly held on to and I truly knew I was going to miss once I got drafted into the NFL was the simple fact of being able to go up there since Pop Warner, since high school, you know, since college, and be able to play in front of Syracuse University fans. You know, in high school, it was a great feeling. You know, in college, it was the best feeling in the world. I remember sitting there in my last game in Pittsburgh, and yes, it was senior day. You know, that day, the last time I knew I'd play in the Dome, and I remember just crying. And I wasn't crying because I wasn't going to be able to play football anymore because I was going on to the NFL. I was crying because I was never going to be able to play in front of Syracuse University fans no more. And that really, really hurt me because it was a deep feeling of, you know what, I wouldn't be here without you guys. And I wanted them to understand that, wanted them to know that. And that's the same feeling I got when I heard Scott Schaefer speaking out there, this feeling of empathy where it's like, you know, he loves the city and he's the coach of Syracuse University football team right now, not just because of the university and its team, but because of the city of Syracuse, and that's a good feeling.
And when you knowing him and knowing his family, the fact that he gets to stay here, his wife is here, his children get to continue their schooling, his son figuring out where he's going and looking at schools like Ithaca and schools like Cortland, so staying relatively close, having that and knowing how important your kids have always been to you and being able to be here for them, what do you think that does for a coach when he doesn't have to leave his family?
You know, it just gives them stability. That's the one big thing that anyone out throughout life wants, you know, stability. They don't want to seem haphazard and all over the place and wonder if a door's going to open or a door's going to close around the corner, you know? And for him, it's just for somebody to embrace his community, for this community to embrace him also, it's just a good feeling. It's always good for a parent, you know, even a coach, to have stability. And that's what the one thing Mr. Schaefer will have.
And when you look at his conversation that he had when he was up there speaking at the press conference and sharing that, the coaching staff, building that staff. You had talked about words, keywords to use. After you heard him there, did you already have this in your mind that this coaching staff was going to have a big makeover?
I already had. I mean, I could just tell from, I've been at this a long time. Been doing this a long time. And just from his body language, you know, the words he expressed, you know, he talked about going forward and having the best coaching staff on the field, you know, for this football team. You know, he wasn't being direct. And when you're indirect, you can always tell there's something up. So I knew something was up. You know, I didn't want to sit there and pry. I wanted him to sit there, you know, and be able to go through this whole process himself, and because he's the one that has to deal with it, not me. But I understand there are a few coaches that would be gone. You know what? But he's doing what's best for Syracuse University, you know, and I trust him.
When everything first happened and Coach Marone had made the decision to go to the Bills, the one person that you said to me on that coaching staff, flat out, was Wheatley won't be here anymore. Mm-hmm. What made you think that Tyrone Wheatley, of any coach, was definitely going to be gone?
You know what? Because Tyrone was in a position where he's so used to be able to, like, he was a All-American himself in college. You know, so he's used to excellence. And not that he didn't get excellence here, because he came in here and did a great job with the running backs there, and he'll be sadly missed. You know, but I felt that always Tyrone wanted to go on to that next stage, because as any athlete who's played the level he's played, we're competitive. And it's competition to him. And I felt that he exceeded his max at the collegiate level, and he wanted to try it at the pro level, which I completely respect. You know, you have to go out there and challenge yourself. And Tyrone's the type of person, you know, just talking to him throughout the past couple of years, you know, he wants to challenge himself. His children, one of his childs, Terry, who I coach, always challenged himself. So he expects the best from them. He expects the best from himself. And he'll get that opportunity now in Buffalo, and I wish him well.
Looking at the rest of the staff, who's the biggest hit when we look at Nathaniel Hackett moving on to the Buffalo Bills, and then you also look at Tyrone Wheatley, Donnie Henderson, Greg Atkins? Atkins has been so involved in the recruiting aspect, not just the offensive line. Is he the most missed in your mind, or is it somebody else?
I mean, between him and Hackett, I think would be the most the ones who are truly missed, because that offense, as you saw, was a juggernaut toward the end of the year. You know, look at all the points they put up against West Virginia. You know, so as I said before, stability is a bad thing, or is a good thing, excuse me. And right now, Syracuse does not have that right now, but they will get that back. You know what? When someone falls, you always have to get back up. You know, that's the way you test yourself. You brush yourself off and try again. So right now, we've fallen down. But right now, we're getting back up. We're building the pieces and putting the pieces back together to become that elite team. We're heading to the ACC now. You know, it's a new venture, a new day, a new era. All they have to do is just go out there and do what they do best. You know, and it'll take care of itself. Yes, some of the guys we lost were great as far as the coaching staff. But you know what? Anybody can be replaced.
Chuck Bulla, the one guy that we know is coming in at that defensive coordinator position that Scott Schaefer has officially stated. How much do you know about him? And were you floored, surprised? Did you expect it, that this was the guy that was named?
You know, I don't know much about him, but from listening to Coach Schaefer at his press conference, I mean, he seems to be a carbon copy of Coach Schaefer, and that's good enough for me. if he's a good friend of Scott Schaefer, you know, he's going to be the exact same person that he is, I'm fine with that.
And then you look at the offensive side. This is something that's taken some time. It's something that they said, that Coach Schaefer said, he wants to not make a quick decision, but to get to that decision in a fast pace, you know, to be smart with what they do. And this is something that was echoed by Dr. Gross, the AD for Syracuse. When you look at some of the guys that have been named out there, and one of them, George McDonald, who's apparently, you know, stated to Arkansas that he's not accepting the position he had formerly accepted, is that the guy that stays at the top of your mind? Is there someone else that you thought would make sense? I mean, is there anyone that really has stuck out to you?
No, McDonald's the only name that really occurred so far also, but, you know, I've come to learn over the years of dealing with all this media and football thing, it's like, you know what, until it's finalized, don't believe anything. Unless you're told directly by that person or that individual, you can't believe anything. It's all speculation.
Because I think what's really started to happen is that, because, and we talked about this, the institution of Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. and the fact that a lot of people don't keep things secretive anymore, the fact of the quarterback coach for Syracuse has not been officially named, mm-hmm. but Tim Lester leaving his position and then players talking about him mm-hmm. after the fact, and when this information starts to get onto Twitter that, oh, I just talked to Lester about going to Syracuse, then that starts to, you know, obviously leak some information that I'm sure the university didn't want to come out. Mm-hmm. When that happens, what does that do for you, the fact that the university really doesn't tell you anymore?
I mean, it just, as I said before, the worst thing a university can do, or an individual or coach can do, is tell a child, or tell a kid, or tell a kid they're recruiting. Because that kid, it's just like a kid having a $100 bill in his hand. You know, he's got to go out and spend it. You know, so these kids cannot keep the secret in. They have to go out there and they'll Facebook a friend, or their Twitter a friend, and then we'll know, or our coach will know, or a good friend will know, 3 or 4 days before, you know, the general media or anybody else knows. So it's just, it's a situation now with social media where it's a different world now. But the whole recruiting process, the whole coaching process, the whole trying to keep things a secret or behind, you know, or behind the scenes. But it's just a different world we live in right now. So it's going to get out eventually. So you might as well go ahead and tell it now. You know?
When that happens, when the information comes out so quickly, should Syracuse or any university, at that point, if that's the truth, if Tim Lester comes out and that information's already out on the internet, should they come out in that moment and admit it, or should they continue along the path of waiting a few days?
If you're riding a tidal wave, do you want to be in front of that tidal wave or in back of that tidal wave? You want to be in front of that tidal wave. So, you know, I always say ahead of the game is what I always say. So the simple fact that there's no way in the world you can keep a secret unless it's one or two people and you trust that person with your life, somehow, some way, someone's going to find out. So if everyone's talking about it now, you know they already know it. So it looks, you know, meek when you come out with that story. So you might as well come out with the story now and stay ahead of it and act like you're the one to present as opposed to it being found out by a third party.
A guy like Rob Moore, this is a coach that you obviously spent time mm-hmm. with, and you know him, respect him. How important is it that he didn't go with Doug Marrone to Buffalo and is here with Syracuse?
I think it's very important for Syracuse University program. I mean, I don't know how important it is for Rob Moore's career as far as a coach, but for the Syracuse University program, you know, I applaud him for staying and sit here and being able to do the things he wants to do for Syracuse University going forward. You know, Rob's a great guy. I played with Rob in college. You know, I've known him since 1986 when he came to Syracuse University. He's always been a hard worker, always been the type of person who goes out there and expects the best from himself. So he definitely expects the most out of his athletes also. So he's the type of person that is basically an asset here to Syracuse. Former Syracuse University football player, former NFL player, brings a lot of knowledge to the game. Great guy to be around, you know, great family guy, just a good person all around. And I think he's a huge, huge asset for Syracuse keeping around.
You look at now the player side of this and talking about assets of people to keep around. Zach Allen comes out and he's considered by many to be the top recruit coming in this class mm-hmm. at quarterback. Syracuse doesn't have a starting quarterback anymore. And Allen says, with everything going on with the changes in the coaching staff, even before Wheatley, even before Atkins, mm-hmm. he makes the call that he's going to stay at home and go to Texas Christian University mm-hmm. instead of coming to Syracuse. These hits, as they are right now, these big hits like a Zach Allen that Syracuse is taking, did you expect this to be part of this tidal wave and essentially those that are, you know, getting taken over by it?
You know, it's just, it's that's football. You know, that's collegiate football. You know, these coaches are going there to recruit these kids. They're going to these kids' homes, talking to these kids' friends, talking to these kids' parents. You know, and they're gaining a rapport with these kids. And when these coaches leave, these kids feel left out, and they seem to go, you know, want to go someplace else where they've had another rapport or someplace that's more stable than, or I guess TCU didn't have a coaching change, so when he visited them, you know, he felt home there also. But it's just, I always say, it's just like a prize fighter. You know what? You're going to take your blows. You have to weather those blows, you know, and just come back out fighting. Syracuse right now is in a prize fight. You know, they're taking their blows. But you know what? We will stand on our feet. We will come back and we will win this match. And by winning this match, I mean going out there, just putting the best product or being the best athletes and being the best coaching staff that we possibly can for 2013.
And you hear about some of these other guys too, Augustus Edwards and LaRae mm-hmm. Smith, that are down in that Long Island, you know, Staten Island, Brooklyn area. When you hear about all these changes, in their mindset, your offensive line coach is gone. Mm-hmm. Your running backs coach is gone. Your head coach is gone. Your offensive coordinator is gone. If you're these guys that are wavering back and forth, how are you seeing this area? I mean, what would you say to them if they're looking at Syracuse saying that every coach that they would have had, mm-hmm. now they'll have somebody different?
You know, that's a tough sell when it comes to a young adolescent mind, you know, but you got to let them know and assure them. It's like, you know what, you really didn't, I did not come to Syracuse University for the coach. I came to Syracuse University for the tradition, the prestige, you know, the chance to play, you know, on national television in front of my home crowd. So every kid has to come to a school for a reason. And trust me, a lot of it's not the coach. There are other factors that factor in why a kid came to a school. Yes, the coach has something to do with it, but there's a factor that made you fall in love with that school the first time. You know, and it's usually not a person. It's something about the school, you know, the playing in the Pinstripe Bowl or playing in USC or Notre Dame. There's something about it that a coach has to get out of himself to be able to explain to these kids and get that trigger question to tell them. It's like, you know, you made the right choice when you thought of Syracuse in your heart the first time. You know, and that's something for the coaches to ponder and something for them to think about going forward talking to these recruits.
How does Schaefer sell Syracuse with all these changes now that the majority of the staff is gone from where the success came from? How does Scott Schaefer sit down and talk to these recruits and help them to still feel comfort in a changing atmosphere?
You know what? Out with the old, in with the new happens throughout life. You know, and that's what these kids are going to have to understand. You know, everything's not going to be the status or be status quo as they see it. Things are going to change. You know, and with that being said, you know, if I'm Scott, I just tell these kids, it's like, you know what, we're up to a new adventure now. You have a part of being the first of something special. Syracuse is going to the ACC now. And with Syracuse moving to the ACC now, trust me, they'll be on television a lot. They'll be talked about a lot. Now it's time for them to step up or shut up. Do you want to be a part of the person who steps up and gets recognized as being the first, a pioneer in doing something special? Or would you rather go to being something, I don't know, as someone, as the average person doing the same thing over and over again, like a program that's been there, you know, doing nothing new? You know, that's what sold me here at Syracuse University when I came to school here. I had a part of being something special. And now we're revered and talked about all the time as being the second team to ever go undefeated in Syracuse University football era, going to bowl games and things of that nature. So I basically was a pioneer in Syracuse turning around their program and doing something well. These kids have the exact same chance, exact same opportunity. They're doing the exact same thing. So that's something to think about.
Ernie Davis, part of an undefeated team.
Mm-hmm.
You, part of an undefeated team.
Mm-hmm.
Besides yourself and Ernie Davis, it hasn't happened.
No, it has
for
not.
Syracuse.
No, it has not.
What does it mean to you to be a part of that history?
You know what? It's just, it's hard to explain. You know, it's something I sit back on now, and I can say to myself, like, the hard work, the dedication, the believing in my teammates, you know, the getting up early in the mornings, you know, staying late at night, you know, doing well in school to stay eligible, just everything encompassed. And people don't realize, I think, how hard it is to go undefeated because everything has to fall, you know, in place going through that season. But I look back on it now and just say the one word I can come up with is magical. It was a magical season. It was a lot of fun. I mean, met a lot of great people along the way. And for me, it was even more magical because, honestly, it gave me the opportunity and the chance to give back to the community of Syracuse. And that's what I was always about. I loved making the community of Syracuse that embraced me as a football player just happy. So I was glad to be able to give them an opportunity to go out to the Sugar Bowl and watch us go out there and perform against Auburn, you know, and that felt good to me.
When you talk about giving back to the community, even though he's now the head coach of Syracuse, the type of person you are, which I know, is that you'll help anybody that mm-hmm. needs it. And with helping Scott Schaefer's son, Wolfgang, mm-hmm. to help him realize his dream and where he can go to school and where he can continue to play the sport of football, mm-hmm. what has it meant to you to help to groom him and help to grow him? What has that done? Because obviously he's a part of this community now, a home that Scott truly feels his family has.
I mean, honestly, when I first met Wolfgang, it was on a recruiting trip where they had recruits coming up, but the Schaefers were already here. And I met Wolfgang and his daughter Elsa, you know, I think it's the Hotel Syracuse now. They're up there, they had the prospects up there, or the recruits up there. And here's this young little kid, you know, doesn't know much, you know, he knew I played the NFL and just sat there and talked to me for a little while, you know. But then over the years, when he got to FM, you know, just sitting here talking to him, you know, just the kids confide in me, they ask me questions. I always say, it's like, you know what, if you want to understand the game of football, you want to understand what it takes to become successful in football and how to go far in football, ask someone who's been there before. You know, I can tell you the ups and downs, the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads. You know, what it took for me to be able to stay in the league for so long and just do the things that I did, you know, because I've been there before. You want to be a banker, ask a banker. You want to be a lawyer, ask a lawyer. Yeah. You want to be a doctor, ask a doctor. Ask someone who's been there before, you know. And a real honest person like myself who just wants to see these kids be successful will tell you the good things to get to that point, but I'll also tell you the bad things and the pitfalls that will get you there. I mean, I have to be honest with these kids, and that's what I truly am. And I think that's the one thing that these kids really respect from me is because I put them on a pedestal higher than myself. I may be the name, you know, but they're the projects who I want to see become way more successful than I ever was, you know, and that's what I always try and do with them, and they understand that.
You've never taken a position to, you know, go up collegiately and be an assistant mm-hmm. coach or be a head coach, but you train these kids to realize their dreams. Is that ultimately better for you to be in that role where you're helping them to grow and move forward than to be in a coaching position yourself?
You know, I've had my glory in the football field, and I've played the game so long because I love the game. But the biggest thrill I get in life right now, honestly, is the simple fact that when I groom these kids really growing up from, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, all through high school, all through college, you know, and when they, on their college visits, verbatim, they always come back to the gym, you know, and always say, thank you, Mr. Drummond, you know. And it's just a great feeling knowing that they'll tell stories of their college experience and how they thought of me when there was something was going wrong. And I explained to him, all right, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And they said, you know, you were absolutely right. You know, and that's a good feeling for me knowing that I can parent, you know, from a distance from all these children, kids I train. You know, it's not just me standing over and being a coach and pointing a finger to him, telling him to do this, score a touchdown, and now I look good as a football coach. I could care less about that. You know, the simple fact of me is, you know, I'm molding young minds, you know, both men and women, you know, just to be better people in society. You know, and that's the biggest thrill I could ever have right now in life.
And not only having that with other people's kids that you're helping, but to have your own children, mm-hmm. they both play the sport.
Correct.
You know, they're involved in football, and you've talked about, you know, going out and seeing them and being a part of each of their games. When you watch them, what type of emotions, what type of thoughts go through your mind? Because you were there at one point. Mm-hmm. You were playing the sport at one point. You know what it takes to love this sport. Mm-hmm. When you look at your sons, bring me into that. An experience that very few professional athletes or very few people can be professional athletes to talk about it.
I mean, honestly, it's just, and truth be told, when I look at my children, my first thought is that I love them to death. You know, they're my sons. You know, regardless of whether they played football or they never played a sport, they played an instrument, I would still love them. And when I just look at them, I just look at them because I want them to go out there and make as many mistakes as they possibly can. Because that's how you learn. You know, I've never yelled at my child or my children for making a mistake. I always walk up to them after a game. You know, so I'll say, you know, what do you think you did wrong? And then Raphael, like my eldest, will always be like, you know, how do you know I did something wrong? I say, you know, Dad knows everything. I say, he's like, well, I did this. Can you correct it? It's like, yeah, correct it next time. You know, you don't have to be perfect. And I always tell him, don't worry about going out there and trying to be me. Don't worry about trying to go out there and just do anything that anyone else puts the pressure on you to do. Go out there and be yourself. It's like, you know, I mean, I want to love you regardless, whether you score a 90-yard run, whether you never get in the game. It doesn't matter. As long as you're having fun, I'm having fun. I'll always be here to support you, whether you're, you know, the star of the team or whether you're, you know, you're carrying the water. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you're having fun, living life, enjoying yourself, and doing the things you want to do, that's all I care about.
Keeping with family, we look at the NFL and what could have happened last time mm-hmm. can also happen again here. And it speaks to the success, and I don't think it's said enough, that when you're a coach and you can get into these final four teams out of 32, then maybe you don't make the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but you made it to the last four.
Yes.
John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh have an opportunity once again for the second straight season to play each other in the Super Bowl. How likely is it in your mind that Baltimore with John and San Fran with Jim are going to make it happen this year?
I think San Fran with Jim has a better chance of getting into the final Super Bowl game. John's going to really, really struggle because trying to beat New England in New England during the playoffs, whew, I want a lottery ticket with that thing. I don't even know, but it's going to be a tough draw for the Baltimore Ravens because they do play New England tough, but New England in New England with Tom Brady as quarterback is just a different monster within itself. And I think Atlanta, San Fran's going to be a shootout, you know, but I say it would be great to see. It would be good for the game, but It's gonna be a tough one for that matchup to happen.
Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick, Joe Flacco. Did you think at the end of the season, we would be saying those four names.
Brady, yes. Ryan, possibly. Flacco, not with the season he had last year. And Kaepernick, out of all of them right now, he's the most electrifying, exciting quarterback in the game right now. You know, Tom Brady's the most consistent and the most dangerous, but Colin Kaepernick is fun to watch. He's absolutely fun to watch. I mean, I haven't said that about a quarterback in a long time. He's just exciting. He's vibrant. He just gives the game a new meaning to learn, or gives life a new meaning to the game of football. And he's just fun to watch. And they're a fun team to watch because behind him is that stout defense. And it's going to be a good game. This weekend should be very, very fun for football fans.
San Fran hasn't had success since the 90s in this game. You have Steve Young. You have Joe Montana. Alex Smith has had so many seasons to get it right. Now he's replaced by Colin Kaepernick. Can this team win a Super Bowl with Kaepernick?
This team is capable of winning a Super Bowl with Kaepernick, I believe, yes. Because the simple fact that that kid exudes confidence right now. And whenever he messes up or makes mistakes, he has that strong defense behind him. And he understands that. You know, he's a young quarterback, but they believe in him. You know, they've given him the reins to go out there and just create and make plays and believe in himself. You know, and he's playing with all the confidence in the world right now. And I'll tell you right now, in the game of football, confidence is 99% of the game.
New England, Baltimore. Has that become one of the best current contemporary rivalries?
I think it has. And I think watch this game, because this will be the last of the era of games you'll be able to see like this, because the Baltimore Ravens defense is getting old right now. You know, this is Ray Lewis's last year, and once Ray Lewis is gone, that team will completely change. The dynamics of that team, you know, the moxie of that team, the attitude, the swag of that team will definitely be gone. So this will be a game for all ages, and I definitely say get ready, sit down on Sunday and watch this game.
Ray Lewis no longer a Baltimore Raven. What is that going to do? Because to me, he is them. They are him.
Yeah. They need to find someone now with the attitude to bring back that swag that Baltimore had, because, as I said before, they're an aging team. They're getting older. You know, and just with Ray Lewis gone, you know, it's going to take – he was one who took the young guys under his wing and basically put that air, their inside of him, that fury inside of him. But with him gone, it's going to be a tough sell to get somebody to come in here and replace that man. But, I mean, I wish Baltimore well, but it's going to be a tough sell.
Is he the best – defensive player as far as popularity and play on the field from the 21st century?
From the 21st century, yes. Let me rethink that, because now I'm thinking, honestly, between him and Lawrence Taylor, I think the game has changed a lot since LT played the game, but as far as sitting in meetings and watching film of Lawrence Taylor and having the whole offensive game plan was gamed around Lawrence Taylor when I was in Philadelphia. And that's respect for a defensive player. I mean, I'm not sure, because I didn't play when Ray Lewis played, if the whole defense was game-planned around him, but our whole offense was game-planned around Lawrence Taylor. And that's respect, and that's dominance as a defensive player. So that those two, if Ray Lewis is one, Lawrence Taylor is a close one and a half. You know, so.
Send me your scores here for these two games. Ooh. San Fran, Atlanta. We'll go with that one first.
I think San Fran wins 42-35.
And Baltimore, New England.
I think Baltimore is going to be a tough defensive game. I don't think New England is going to put up the points they put up against the other team before them. So I think it's going to be Houston. So I think since New England wins, I'd say 21-10.
21-10. Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate it as always, and we'll see if you're right.
Right, Dan.